Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/arts. Just go to Indeed.com/arts right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/arts. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You are listening to an A&R special edition podcast on the Loki Disney Plus TV show. Let's get started. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to a special A&R podcast. We're talking all things Loki, the Disney Plus Loki TV show. This is episode 2, and we're going to be discussing everything, so it's full of spoilers. So if you haven't seen it, please go watch it and then come back and listen to our take. And before we get started, I want to bring in my fellow TVA agents in the fold. I have my friend D. D, how's it going?
Pretty good today. How about you?
Good, good, good. And my other TVA agent, Chris. Chris, how you doing?
I am good. I just finished eating my salad.
Oh, oh, you're all energized up for this episode.
Is it the one where Loki dips a little bit of salt and pepper in the salad, or no?
Yeah, it kind of switches it up, especially that little drink that he added in there in the end. I'm just like, ooh, a little bit
makes
of
it very creamy, right?
Yeah, it's almost like a vinaigrette dressing, you know, healthier.
Yeah. All right, okay, let's get started with episode 2, and boy, was it a good episode. So we start off with 1985 Oshkosh, Wisconsin. So we get a bunch of TVA agents that arrive there because of a report of a time variant. So they get there and they go to this, you know, obviously it's sort of like a medieval fair. Is that maybe something you want to call it? Like,
yeah,
a fair, right?
That's or, what it is. It's a medieval
sort of like a gathering, fair. Right? Yeah. So everyone's dressed up and then some lady yells at them and says, "Hey, you guys are not playing the part." And they're just like, "Yeah, shut up. Shut up, lady." And they go into one of these little tents they have set up there at the fair. And all of a sudden, the megaphone comes on and you got music coming on. And I cannot believe I heard this song three Same. Times in the last couple of weeks.
It's three times in
what
one week.
What is going on? What is going on? I Need a Hero is just driving me nuts now. This is crazy. First, we heard of the He-Man trailer a few weeks ago. Then we see it at E3, Guardians of the Galaxy game by Square Enix. And now we get it here. Like, what are the odds of three total different companies, avenues of, you know, media decides to pick this song and play it all within 2 weeks of each other? It's crazy. Did you guys, like, pick up on that?
Oh, I did, 100%. I was just, yeah, I told Jess too. I was like, this is the third time I've heard this song this week.
Chris, what do you think? Did you just roll your eyes and go, "Oh my God, again"?
I thought it was weird, but, you know, I like the song because it's a good song. And, you know, it was used in Shrek.
Well, no, it's a great song. It's a great song, but just hearing it three times is just so weird, right? It's just like, oh my God, pick something else, people here.
I wonder if there's a meaning.
Oh no, there's no meaning. It's just what are the coincidences? That's what it is. But anyway, so the song comes on and our mysterious time variant thief just, you know, quickly disassembles these agents and drags one of them into the portal or doorway, whatever you want to call it. And then we hit the credits for Loki. And then we get Loki sitting on a desk reading a magazine, which looks to be like Chris Hemsworth on a jet ski. That would have been so cool. I'm sure he did, like, you know, some advertising for magazines before, but that would have been funny seeing Hemsworth on a jet ski as an advertisement. And we have Miss Minutes, who is that like a, like he was asking her, are you like sort of an AI, artificial hologramic intelligence? It looks like that, right? She's able to think and talk and react to in real time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought it was pretty cool. Well, I thought it was pretty interesting.
She did say both.
She's like, are you a recording? Yeah. Or she's like, alive. Oh, I'm a little bit of both, I guess.
She's like a futuristic version of an iPhone, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, she's able to do everything. And make you pay a lot of money to get, you know, apps like an iPhone probably. But, yeah, so she basically, you know, is trying to quiz him and test him and get him up to speed of all the knowledge that the TVA agency has to offer. And he's a quick learner because, you know, he looks like he's not paying attention, but he really is. He knows his stuff. And he's basically trying to, you know, do his job to retain everything and then quickly responds back. But it's Loki, you know, he's always going to try to be mischief. And I just love the fact that he rolls up the magazine and just starts to thwart at her. And she runs into the little computer and hides. I thought that was pretty funny. What do you guys think about Loki? Do you think he really is that intelligent that he's able to pick up all of the agencies and, you know, information?
Oh, 100%. He really is brilliant. He just doesn't really care to show it to people who are beneath him. And he comes off as just, like, egotistical and bored. But I liked these types of scenes because it's a good way to give the audience the rules on how these TVA and timeline paradoxes work without us having to spend, like, 5 minutes watching some random explanation or monologue. Just, like, nice little tidbit drops like that I appreciate.
Chris, what did you think about going back a little bit further, just before the credits rolled, the quick, you know, work that this TVA variant did, or the variant, sorry, Loki variant, made quick work of the TVA agents. What did you think? At that time, what were you thinking of who this character is or what the abilities they have?
Well, it was a good scene because, you know, they walked into the tent, everything happened, and then all of a sudden the TVA agents move back, and then you see this hand come out, and you see this little, I called it mind-jacked, like, took over her body, and then it's hard to say because, you know, Marvel's good at keeping us guessing, and, you know, it's kind of going forward because the different variants will have different abilities. And, you know, we've talked about that. So,
yeah, we'll get into that in a quick second here.
Definitely.
About the variants for sure. Yeah, definitely. But I mean, did you at that time think this was a female or a male, or you didn't care at that point who this person was, the way they were moving around?
I couldn't have guessed. You know, there was no hints to if it was a male or a female. You know, we just seen this hand come out of the darkness, so it doesn't really give much away, you know. But it was a great start to the episode.
Yeah, definitely a lot of quick action there. All right, okay, so we definitely, you know, I at that time for me personally, when I was looking at watching the movements and stuff, I'm like, how do I know? Like, I can't tell if it's a female or a male. And then the person has the ability just to drag a body with one hand into the portal. I'm like, well, whoever it is, they've got some powerful, you know, either natural strength or maybe magic strength, right? I mean, this person is powerful to do that because we saw it in the other episode, the first one, where the person was trying to slam, get the, what is that device called again? The little
time reset
device charges. and that person just pulled and yanked that body as if it's nothing, and it was a full-grown man too, right? So this variant has a lot of powers, or maybe a lot of magic powers that we're not yet aware of for her or him to do that at that time. So we get into, you know, Miss Minutes talking to him, and in walks in Mobius, and gives him a jacket. And he puts on this jacket and becomes Al Bundy. No, that doesn't become Al Bundy. Gets the TVA jacket, and he's really proud of it. And they go into a little briefing area where they're talking about this incident that just happened in 1985. And you see in the middle a hologram set up where it shows various Lokis. How surprised were you guys to see how many variations they were going to quickly show? And was there any Easter eggs in those?
Well, I knew they would go over a few of them. Like, I didn't know when, but this whole show is dedicated to different versions of Loki. So sooner or later, we'd be seeing some either images of them or actual characters. Just like I was expecting them to use the female version, because in the comics, he did have a female form at one point. And I don't think the movies would bring in or change our Loki to female Loki. So it would have been a good time to use that one in this show. So right off episode one, I thought they might use that or a kid Loki, because those are two versions that have shown up in the comics. And they are unassuming and not very imposing, but very powerful characters when they want to be. So just change it up a little bit. But then we saw from the height that it's not a child, so I assumed it was a woman. And then going through the table of the holograms, they had some kind of jokey ones, like a track star or Olympic runner Loki.
Well, are you guys aware of why they did the track star?
No.
It's sort of a play on Lance Armstrong, because he was caught cheating.
Oh.
So Lance Armstrong used to keep winning the Tour de France, and then they finally caught him cheating. He was using steroids, and he was stripped of all his accolades, because up until he was caught, he was considered the best Tour de France athlete, period, because he had won so many times. So it's a play on that, because that's pretty much Lance Armstrong's attar, the yellow top, and you have Loki's head on it, right? I thought it was pretty funny. I had a good chuckle about it because I recognized it right away. I'm like, oh, okay, so they're playing off Lance Armstrong, calling him a cheater. Loki's a cheater all the time, right? He's always going to try to get an edge. I quite enjoyed the blue version of Loki because obviously he's a frost giant, right?
Yeah.
So it was nice to see that. And then we had the hulked out Loki. Man, that looked big. I want to see that in a TV or a movie, right? That looked pretty cool. Hulked out Loki. Did you guys... I'm going to ask you this. In the comic books, did any of those Lokis show up anywhere?
I don't recall any of those. I'm sure they have. I just don't recall any.
Okay.
Especially like... And there must be like maybe an obscure... Lance Armstrong Loki, but...
But did you see his face when that image showed up on the hologram? And he's wearing the yellow shirt, and it goes to Loki's face, and he's like, what the heck? Yeah. He looks so surprised. That was good.
Okay, so one of the things I wanted to ask you is, in those holograms, there was no female depiction of him.
Yeah, but did they only show... How many did they show? Three?
Yeah, did you find that strange?
No. I didn't really think anything of it.
Chris, did you find it strange that there was no female depictions of him in the hologram?
I was always hoping for it because, you know, when we went back to seeing the trailer, I was hoping that, you know, we would see Lady Loki, but, you know, they kept it to the frost giant and that crazy, huge creature, Hulk-like looking. But, you know, it's still only episode two, so who knows what else they're going to show us.
Yeah.
Like, if they did intend to use the Lady Loki, I don't think they'd announce... Like, I think that was supposed to be, like, a surprise. Like, it's...
Yeah.
So I don't think they'd be willing to or wanted to show off a female version. That reason, if they do use it, yeah. Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, don't unveil your top secret.
Yeah.
Even though it could be hiding in plain sight. Keep it close to the vest. Yeah.
So, okay, so, you know, they're all briefed And Mobius, he makes sure that he says this because he wants everyone to understand, and the audience as well. He says each these variants have unique abilities. Not all of them are the same, which I thought that was very, very interesting for him to drop that little nugget. And that's obviously directed at the audience to understand that the Loki that you know with the powers he has doesn't mean that other Lokis have the same powers. Mm-hmm. The fact that they all have the ability to have different powers makes it even more interesting now for me to not only see different versions of him, but to see what can they conjure up, you know, from their ability. So I think that's really interesting that they mentioned that. Did you guys pick up on that?
Yeah, it made me curious what other abilities they would display later on in the show. Since they went out of their way to tell us that, then it makes sense they would go out of their way to show it too eventually. So hopefully we see some cool stuff. It could have been a throwaway line, but I don't think so.
Yeah, Chris, what did you think?
Pretty much the same. I did love how he delivered the explanation of it. It was just...
it was wow.
Yeah, it's like, I served you. This is it. And he's like, will you calm down? But pretty much...
Professor Loki, that line, Professor Loki, was hilarious.
Oh,
so oh, yeah. He's trying to explain when he's explaining the difference, I love that.
Like, thanks, Professor Loki, yes.
Yeah.
Can we get on with the actual, you know, investigation here? So they jump into 1985, Oshkosh. D, what happens when they get there?
So when they get there, Loki puts on a big show. Like, he's like, oh no, don't exit this tent unless you want to be killed. And then he goes on to some witty monologuing about how you have to be prepared for anything and how, what was it? Where there are wolves' ears, wolves' teeth are near. And he goes on to say that Asgardians always said this, which was funny to him because Asgardians are stupid. But people often forget that they could see something in plain sight and then forget about the like minute details. Like traps are all around them. You have to be prepared for anything. One wrong move and you'll die. And he's like, I'm willing to help you guys, of course. But I need some reassurance that I'll be kept alive. So I think we should go talk to the timekeepers immediately because they're in grave danger. And that's when Mobius is like, okay, he's lying. I really liked the delivery of that scene. And up until halfway, I thought, okay, maybe there is a trap. I don't see why there couldn't be. Because Time Variant Loki already ambushed them in the same spot. Why not leave booby traps for the second people to show up? And then it wasn't until the timekeeper's line where I was like, oh, okay, he's BSing. That's a shame. Now you just dropped 10 trust points with these guys.
Yeah, definitely.
But he's Loki. Like, you expect it. And I think the show is doing a good job of making us like him and then reminding us he's actually a jerk. So you can like him all you want, but he's probably just going to lie to you.
That's a little bit harsh, isn't he? Is he a jerk in your eyes? I didn't know that, D.
Yeah. I love him, but he's still the same guy who I think up until this point, it might have been a day. It's been maybe a day at two max since he tried to overthrow New York and killed like 1,000 people. Let's not forget he did that.
Yeah, okay, fine. I'll give you that.
But I still love the guy. Everyone makes mistakes, right? So... so there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I expect him to do mischievous things. That's in his nature. I just thought that, you know, right, you know, when he's given the jacket and he's given, you know, sort of embraced in the group to go with them on their first mission, I thought maybe he would wait, you know, to maybe do something.
Yeah, that's...
he like, went right all off out. The bat. Like, he's like, oh, I'm just going to try to lie to these guys right off the bat, you know?
I think it's a great way of...
Go ahead, Chris.
I think it's a great way because, you know, in the first episode, we got to see the softer side of Loki after he was watching his past and he saw himself die. And, you know, we thought, okay, he's making a change. But then it just goes back to, you know, habits are hard to break, you know, in this second episode in that tent when he says, oh, it's a trap, you know, don't go out there, don't leave. And then, yeah, Mobius catches on to that. So, you know, we thought he changed in the first episode, but then those little mischievous things come out in the second episode. And it's just a reminder that this is who he is, you know, but who knows what we're going to see. Like, oh, I just want to talk about the ending. It was so interesting, but you know what I mean? It's just that nice little, he's trying to be good, but he's still up to his tricks.
And he's a liar. Exactly. So there's like going to be a lot of red herrings, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. So what happens after that, D?
So basically, Mobius looks like a fool for trusting him, and they head back to TVA HQ, and he ends up in Ravonna Renslayer's office. And she's like, basically scolding him. He's like, you took the most...
I just want to stop. Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to stop. You know, the entrance of the Ravonna's office, it was very interesting how they panned right to that very central figure, the statue, and then they zoom out.
Yeah, they keep doing that.
To me, that they're really trying to show you this middle character of the three, you know, time keepers. And it just, you know, it's like, you know, I've traded in more Mephisto for Kang the Conqueror now. It's like, you know, where is he? I want to see him. Like, come on. Like, stop teasing me. I want to see him and I'll be happy. So, I don't know. I just found that really, really interesting how they did that, how they zoomed in and then zoomed out in the office of that one particular time variant keeper. So I thought that was interesting. Anyway, sorry, T, go on.
No, that's fine. And then, since we're on the topic of the office, Mobius mentions the office keeps changing. It just keeps getting better and better. So that was interesting. Like, I wonder what it looked like before. Who keeps giving her these perks? The timekeepers? Well, that's weird, because Mobius also mentions, yeah, I've never really seen these guys before. So that's something I gravitated to. And if it is Kang...
Well, she also mentioned... Yeah, you were saying?
Oh, go ahead. I want to hear what you say.
She also mentioned, remember, you're not the only person I have.
Oh, yeah, analyst.
Analyst, right? So that's interesting. I want to know who that is as well.
Yeah.
So...
And will we get to see them, or is that just another throwaway line? Like, Marvel does a good job of making characters say things that show up later on, but also including just sprinkles of useless information that make people think it's Mephisto an entire season. So.
Oh my god!
Well, I traded in Mephisto. Yeah. It's Kang now. So every time I see something, I'm like, that's Kang.
So when Mobius mentions, like, yeah, I've never really seen these guys before, it makes me think, like, is this a bigger scheme that Kang, you know, when villains create a persona, like in Batman Begins, Ra's al Ghul made the illusion that he was this immortal person bigger than he is, when in reality he was just a normal guy, and created this legend to keep people devoted to him. I wonder if Kang is involved, did he create this TVA and this backstory about a deviating timeline? So he has one linear timeline to keep order of and create this legend of the timekeepers. Who knows?
It's going to be very, very, very interesting when it unfolds. Definitely, for sure. I'm just, I'm on edge now. So
like, we don't know what's going to happen.
So they're having a conversation and she kind of gives him grief about, you know, putting the drink down on the coaster. Notice the coaster was hexagon.
Yeah.
So that was pretty funny. So yeah, I mean, it's a little nod to our WandaVision there. And so she opens up the file and says, you know, check out, you know, a blunder of a case you just got here, and this guy that you brought in, you know, she's basically poo-pooing all over his decision to bring Loki into this investigation and saying that I think you're wrong for doing this, and it's, you know, backfiring already. And it just, like, it sucks because, you know, he's brought this guy in, given him a second chance, and, you know, it goes back to, you know, what he did in the tent there where he tried to manipulate them right off the bat, and he just feels like he's been let down, and he's getting pissed now because It's his reputation now on the line. And, you know, he storms out of there, you know, pissed. And then you have Loki sitting there, you know, basically, oh, what did she say? You know, everything's okay. You know, like, I was expecting him to kind of sucker punch him or something, right? What did you guys take of that whole interaction? Do you, like, you know, when he walked out of there, did you feel that he should have been pissed or and said something even more than what he said to Loki?
I mean, I don't blame him for being mad, but you kind of have to expect this. Like, look who you brought in to help you. And not only that, yeah, but you didn't really put a control collar in on this time. He could have very easily just killed you all. It's just, I'm surprised he didn't. So kudos to him for like holding back and just relying on his wit. But also on the flip side, Loki needs to learn when to be quiet. Because as soon as he got out of the office, he's like, so I know my antics were a little crazy back there and I'm sorry, but blah, blah, blah. Like he's trying to suck up to him immediately. And he gives them the whole, they go back and forth, and he tried to play off Loki's ego, which then in turn made Loki angry. He's like, ah, very clever. Like, you're trying to do this to me when I'm actually doing this to you. It's a nice back and forth of cat and mouse. And I don't know how many times they can go around in circles. Right now it's amusing, but sooner or later I'm going to be like, Mobius, did you seriously trust him for the 10th time and expect this to work? Like, I don't know. at what point it's gonna give. So I'll see how long they do this back and forth cat and mouse game, but for now I'm enjoying it.
Chris, what was your take on it when he walked out of their office? Were you angry with Mobius, or did you feel that he was overreacting?
Maybe he was. I feel like he was just putting on a bit of a show because he still wanted to continue working with Loki, and you know, just going by what Dee was saying when he came out and was just telling Loki, you know, the one thing that really stuck out was when Mobius said that the Loki variant was smarter than him, and that kind of shut him up for that moment. But, you know, these two are truly involved with this Loki variant, and he wants to continue that work because he thinks he's an asset. So it was just a bit of, for me, it was a bit of an in-between scene, but you know, I just hooked on to the, you know, Mobius kind of serving it back to Loki after everything.
Yeah, I think because like you said, like, you know, he brought him in, he's an asset. He keeps telling everybody else in the agency that he's an asset, but it just turns like that he's not an asset. He's more of an, you know what? And it's, you know, it's frustrating him now. It's getting to the point where, you know, how many times do I have to explain to you that how important this, you know, is, and how lucky you are to be in the situation to help out and possibly, you know, live instead of dying for breaking the rules. And yeah, it's sort of boiling now to the top, you know, coming to the surface there. And so he gives him two options, right? And the two options, what were the two options? Do you remember?
Like when he said, like, believe whichever one you want? Are you talking about that?
Yeah,
one?
Yeah.
Where he's like, oh, I believe whatever you want. Either I saw someone who needed help and I pitied a little boy, or I want to catch this time variant and I needed you to do it. Like, easy, like, either I cared about you, so I took pity on you, which is still kind of insulting, yeah, or I'm using you. So choose whichever one you want.
Did you see Loki's reaction when he said, you know, I pity the little boy? I don't know if you guys noticed that the camera panned into his face when he said that, and I think that hurt him a little bit.
Yeah, see, that's the whole cat and mouse thing. It's like they're bouncing these, like, jabs at each other, these backhanded, like, phrases. They're
savages.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, he gives him that option and tells him, like, you either get with it or get out of here. And well, let's see if, you know, let's follow here next, you know, the next chapter here. So Chris, what happens afterwards here? So they had this conversation.
So
they're walking the hallway. They go to the library, right? Is it a library?
Yeah.
Yeah, Loki is sent to the books to do research on the variant case files to look for any leading information. And as Loki's looking through the files, you know, he thought he'd be smart, and he goes up to the bookkeeper, librarian. Yeah. That was funny. The bell. And so he tries getting more info on the timekeepers. And
classified.
Classified. The creation, the beginning and ending classified. Of time. And finally, he's like, is there anything I can see? So she brings him over to the bookcases and hands him the exact same files that he's supposed to be looking at. which was funny. And then as Loki is searching through these papers, he is looking at the apocalypse that has happened. And he figures out that the variant is hiding in different apocalyptic moments.
Let's talk about that. Okay. Let's talk about this process. And when I get you guys' take on this. So he discovers that this variant is going from apocalypse or major catastrophic events and hiding in these events. What is the reason, D, that you took out of it is why this variant is doing that?
Well, it's funny. Chris mentioned like the files that he got. She only gave him his time, like his life story, basically. He was only allowed to read his own. So it's very impressive that he even came to this conclusion. He saw the destruction of Asgard and put two and two together. So when a time variant goes to, let's say, a place where it's about to be destroyed, anything they do up until that point won't matter because it will cease to exist after that. So he could go to Asgard before its moments of destruction, punch Odin in the face, kill his brother there, slap Jane. Either it doesn't matter because Asgard, at the end of the day, will still be destroyed. So any, what do they call it? Nexus radiation? Nexus event?
Nexus events.
Will stop at that point anyway because time for that place in reality doesn't exist anymore. So do whatever you want. If you did it in a place that's going to continue on after that, then the Nexus event will still progress with it, and that's what screws up the timeline. So, I don't know. Yeah. I like that they explained it.
Yeah, definitely. It actually made sense because, you know, life ceased to exist at that point. So, obviously, anything you do is not going to affect. There's no butterfly effect to it, right?
Yeah.
It just stops there. And so he brings it to Mobius. And what does he say, Mobius? He's like, what are you talking about? Like, just basically saying, you're an idiot. Like, what? And so, Chris, what happens when he's trying to explain that to him?
The salad?
the salad.
Oh, my gosh. So, practically what Dee said, he's explaining to Mobius using his salad as a metaphor, saying that, you know, whatever he does, in the end, it's not going to create a rift, you know, because so the variant uses these events as a way to create events that won't be detected by the TVA. So we have Loki doing his salt and pepper, and then he grabs the juice box. I don't know. It was
from his buddy, right? His buddy.
Yeah. I'll turn you into a fish.
St. Calvin or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he pours that in the salad, and that's the apocalypse, and just the way he made his point. And then Mobius is...
Honestly, like, I couldn't stop laughing him with the shakers. Just so funny. He's just shaking away. The world's smallest salt shaker and pepper shake.
And so after that, Mobius thinks about it. And Loki talks Mobius into, okay, let's go to one of these events and test out this theory. And they're not sure. Well, Mobius isn't sure. So Loki pushes them on. So they end up in Pompeii, which I have to say is a really funny scene. So they get to Pompeii and they're waiting for the volcano to erupt. And so they were looking at creating a distraction. Mobius is like, can you make bird sounds? And Loki just takes over and he jumps out in the crowd and he's like, you're all gonna die. And he was speaking in their languages and people are just looking at him like he's crazy. And they were trying to create that Nexus event, which would throw off. So obviously the volcano erupts. Mobius looks at his control pad thing, notices that there isn't any branching off happening, and he's like, okay, this is it.
We got something here. We got something, right? Yeah.
Exactly. What did you think?
You know, basically, Mobius now is interested in this theory, so they kind of, you know, he accepts that and he's like, okay, fine, maybe this is something here. And then what happens right after that?
They go back and try to like discover which catastrophic event the time variant would be in. And they have to look through all the files between now and 2050. And they narrow it down to 2050, because that's where the Kablooey, that gum she had in the first episode that the little girl had, was created, and it was in Alabama 2050. So then they go back to the office and he tries to persuade her to get a task force because they narrowed it down and they believe the time variant is there, and she's skeptical, but she lets Mobius have his task force and take Loki. So they're all debriefing and they head to Alabama, and was it a warehouse? What would you call it? Is it the Kablooey factory?
It's like a Walmart, isn't it?
I guess so. Like some sort of set store. What was it called?
Rocks. Oh my God.
Rocks
Carts.
Oh, Rocks Carts.
Which is a subdivision of Marvel of Comics, on? Which is cool.
I know there's Rocks On in Marvel. I
did not know that.
Yeah.
And then they have so that's cool that they use that name.
Nice. Oh, just another Easter egg, since we're talking about Easter eggs here, is when he's going in the hallway to the library, there's a 372 on the wall there.
Oh,
and
yes.
That is reference to the first time the TVA meets Thor in the comics. Issue number 372 in Thor comics.
Ooh.
Yes. So I love these Easter eggs. I love the little drop of nuggets throughout the shows. So good.
Did you guys get the first one when they get to Wisconsin? Oh, the one from Wisconsin's pretty cool. So creator Mark Gruenwald, sorry if I mispronounce his name, he's actually from that town in Wisconsin, and he is the one responsible for creating, get this, Flag Smasher, Battlestar, and US Agent.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. That's cool. That is awesome. I thought it was Oshkosh, the kids' outfit store. So throw a little callback there, you know, me being a parent there. So meant many times to Oshkosh for clothing.
Yeah, same.
All right, so we are at the point where this is where the fun begins, right?
Mobius got desperate. He was about to give Loki his daggers. And agent's like, absolutely not.
Nope, not happening. Yeah. Not on my watch.
So then they all head to that location, and they split up. Mobius wants to go with Loki, but she's just being a stickler. So Loki's with her. What's her name? HB15, I think, or Hunter B15.
Yeah, something like that.
They all split up. The classic. Let's split up and go in different directions, because that always works. And time variant Loki gets the drop on them. But this one is using, I think it's called enchantments, where she basically like gets brainwashed. And the time variant's speaking through her now.
Mm-hmm.
And they spend this moment showing off one of these powers. Loki's like, oh, very clever, enchantment, but it's cowardly. Did Loki ever do that without the Tesseract? Because he did that in the movie, but he needed the power he needed the Tesseract to do it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this seems like it's it seems like it's one of those powers that you were talking about earlier, Elvin, where this variant can do something that he can't, maybe.
Well, maybe he did do it before in Asgard, but maybe he just got lazy and had, you know, the Tesseract there, so the Tesseract kind of did it for him.
Possibly, yeah. But I also noticed
don't know the backstories.
He called it cowardly, and then I'm like, you did this the entire first movie. Yeah, are you just being jealous because you can't do it now? Because you don't have the Tesseract? Or is this just like, who knows? Who knows with Loki? He's a liar, right? But
exactly.
The time variant Loki, I'm just going to call her TVL.
Yeah.
The hunter woman gets knocked out. So it's just Loki versus Loki now. But the time variant Loki is jumping bodies. And I thought that was a pretty cool fight. Even though it was just nobody characters. I don't know, this episode didn't really have a lot of action, so this is the biggest action scene I think we've gotten, and I was satisfied with it. I don't expect this to be an action-packed show. It's not Falcon Winter Soldier.
It's not going to be Winter Soldier, you know, Captain
America. And I'm okay with that.
Like that. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be, you know, mystery solving, you know, manipulation, stuff like that, which is, you know, I'll take that, no problem.
Yeah.
It's like CSI.
Yeah, exactly.
But
TVA. So Chris, this is where we get our Loki to our variant Loki to reveal.
Actually, before that, as they're going around a supermarket, they end up finding the kidnapped TVA agent. Which,
oh yes,
they found her a bit disorientated, and she was going off saying
she was going off the rockers.
she was going off saying, "I told them how to find the timekeepers," and you know,
she kept saying it's real over and over.
It's okay. Things are getting serious. So they find the agent, they find that out, and then we get back. There's that conversation with the two Lokis, and then Loki was talking to variant Loki about how he wanted to take over the timekeepers, like take it over, control it, and explaining his plan to the variant, and the variant turns around and says, I am not interested in taking over the time variance authority. And then we get to the point where the agent gave up the info to find the time. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I just repeated myself, you guys. As they're walking through and talking, Loki notices the time.
Like the detonators, the bombs?
The detonators, thank you. Yeah.
Oh, the time reset charges.
Time reset, yeah. I think that's the way they're rewarding it, time reset, yeah.
Time reset. So he notices these placed sporadically throughout the store. And from there, that's when the variant Loki reveals herself.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, so this was, you know, some of us might have been expecting it. Some of us wasn't. It was a great surprise. And I'm going to let you guys talk about that because I got some juicy topic definitely. About this. Yeah, go for it.
So right off the bat, people are starting to analyze. People are starting to say, okay, is this something more to it than just a Loki? You know, there's talks on the internet now that is she Enchantress? And I'm going to say out right now that she's not. She is a Loki variant. That's my theory. She's a Loki variant. And I'm, you know, unless, you know, obviously if they want to, they can make her Enchantress. But I don't believe she is. To me, she's Loki variant. And because the show is about Loki, why would they add another big character and change the whole thing? And then we're like, well, what happened to the variants then? Where's the Loki variant? So I don't buy any of that talk. I think that's just nonsense. And obviously we won't know for sure until we watch this. But they gotta stick to the Loki variant topic. They can't just go bring a big character in there and then change the whole thing up. That's not the Marvel way. Right? So they've got a game plan, and they said they've been mentioning and harping on that, even with going back to the briefing where he's talking about Lokis and variants and powers. Why would they spend all that time talking about all this and then just ignore all of that and bring a new character into the fold, right? So that's my theory. What's your take on it?
I don't think it's Enchantress. I mean, Loki has been a woman in the comics, so it just seems weird that they could use a female Loki and then be like, nope, just kidding, it's not actually Loki. It's Loki pretending to be Enchantress, who's actually Enchantress pretending to be Loki. It's like no, it's just weird. That's just too convoluted.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's people, it's those, you know, those people like the Morbius people. You know, I'm not like that, but it's those people that kept talking about, oh, we see Morbius. That's going to be Morbius. Those people are just, you know, crazy people.
But that's the thing with this.
Anyways, D.
Sorry.
Anyways, D. So, what happens after she has revealed herself?
She basically mocks him. He's like, it's not about you at all. Like, I don't care about you.
Damn,
like...
that's the line right there, right? That's the line.
Yeah.
If the whole show, that's the biggest line right there. This is not about you. And it's like, whoa, like right off the bat, you know, this Loki is, you know, how Mobius said, far superior than this one we have, right? So to me, that line kind of made the show when she threw it right back at him and said, this is not about you. What did you guys take of that line?
I loved it.
For me, it was big. What about you guys?
I absolutely loved it. Because you're like, but my name's on the title, so it is about me. That I 100% absolutely love it. There's bigger fish to fry in her big plans, and I want to know why she's doing all this. I want to know her motives. I want to know if I'd be sympathetic. Because it doesn't seem like she's just a nutcase. Like, she's doing this for a reason, and I am dying to find out what that reason is, and I'm excited.
Oh, man. It killed me. So, they go into... She opens up the portal, right? And then she sets off all what did we decide to call it again?
The time reset. Yeah.
The time reset bomb. Let's just call it that way. The time reset. And it lights up like a Christmas tree all over the place. And then it goes kablooey. And all of a sudden, they go to the Time Variant office or headquarters, and it shows all these lines.
They're all red.
All veering off the main course. And I don't know if you guys happened to see the monitor where they showed where these variants are happening. Did you guys happen to see that monitor?
I was trying to see if there's any noticeable, like, Earth.
Oh, Earth. I noticed a few.
Earth numbers.
I know there was some references in there.
Yeah, there's Xandar, Vormir. Mm-hmm. There was even the planet, even the area where I believe the Frost Giants lived.
Oh, Jotunheim.
Jotunheim, and I believe, and then there was other places. Most of them were on Earth, most of them. So in different periods of time too, as well. But so all of the, you know, the timeline, things are just going haywire. And Dee, what happens after all this happens? What's going on now?
It was explained earlier in the episode, once a Nexus event goes past a red line, you can't reset it. Like, what's done is done. So everyone at the office is freaking out. They're calling their superiors for the red line event. Total dimensional chaos and collapse. And it cuts back between the office and the TVA at Roxcart. And do you want to call them portals, wormholes, doorways are opening up, and Mobius...
Yeah, doorways, yeah.
...sprints back to Loki, and Loki's looking at a doorway, and he has a decision to make. Should he stay, or can he go through this doorway? And he's Loki. What do you think he does?
He's gonna go in there. He has to go in there.
Well, like, here's the thing. I don't even blame him, because they didn't give him any reassurance. They're basically like, yep, you die. And it's okay, so... And you can't go back to your timeline, but we can't keep you either because you're a criminal. We just need to use you. Like, they're not making this deal sweet for him at all. Like, what happens when the case is done? Do they erase him? So I don't blame him for taking off.
So I was gonna—that's what I was gonna ask you guys: is him doing this by him deciding to? Because you know you can hear Mobius in the back saying, "Don't go there, stop, Loki, stop," and he's like, "Nope," and he shoots right in there. Do you think that's the breaking point of their trust for him?
Like, I mean, think
even
so.
If they decide, like, I mean, with him maybe, just with Mobius. I don't know about the TVA. But, I mean, with him, do you think this is it? Like, this is the straw that broke the camel's back here? Like, that's it? I'm done with this guy? Like, he's on his own now? Even if he redeems himself, I can't trust this guy anymore? What are your guys' thoughts on this?
Yeah, but I don't think Loki took off just to bail. I think he went after the time variant to get the drop on her and prove that he is the superior Loki and bring her back to the TVA.
That's what you think? Is he's going there for justice?
I think he just wants to prove he's better, but at the same time, why not kill two birds with one stone? And then maybe get his audience with the timekeepers by doing this.
How do you feel, Chris, about this?
You know, I think he's smarter than what we give him credit for, because, you know, with all the information he's learned, and especially going back to the beginning of the episode where he's sitting at the desk and Miss Minutes is talking to him about, or teaching him the ways of TVA, you know, I think he had this thought process. You know, I know Mobius was telling him not to jump through, but somehow I feel like something hit him, that light bulb went off, and he jumped through it, because, you know, there was that talk about things run a course, and sometimes things aren't written just yet. So he kind of played off that. So, you know, was it written that he was supposed to jump through that time door? So, you know, it just leaves so much speculation open for discussion, which is what we're doing. But I think it was meant to happen.
It's very interesting because, you know, when he walked through that portal and looked back at them one last time, I'm thinking, like, this guy doesn't care at all about the TVA and their objectives. He cares about finding out the secrets of what's going on here and being able to use that. Because you could tell in the middle of the show where he's trying to explain to him, it's like, how can you be sure that these people are doing the right thing? Like, he's questioning everything, and everybody else is just going along with it and, you know, saying everything's, you know, perfect and fine, and we gotta follow our, you know, what our timekeepers have laid out in front of us. And so Mobius is following it to a T. Like, he's just a sheep, right? He's just following what his hierarchies are telling him, and Loki's like, no, I don't believe in this, and I think there's more to it. This, so when he walked and made that decision to walk through that door into that portal, he's absolutely certain now, in my mind, that there's more to this. It's like an onion. There's more layers to it, and he needs to go through there and find out, because he's starting to believe what this lady is, you know, telling him. You know, he's eating it all up, and he's gonna go into that portal and find out. Now, we don't know what's gonna happen till next week, and it's pains me to say that, because I'm dying to see the next episode, because that's going to be that sort of that's episode 3. It's the midway point of this show, so it's going to have a lot of explanation and things being revealed. I think episode 3 is going to be one of the big episodes to get us understanding of what's going on from another perspective, because up until now we've been only seeing it from the TVA perspective. We have not seen it from this female Loki's perspective as to why this Loki is doing what she's doing. So I think when he walks in, she's going to spill the beans and explain to him what's going on. And that's further going to add, you know, clues to what this TVA is all about. Is it corruption? Are they truly trying to do good? So that's just my opinion on it. You know, what do you guys think?
Well, as a whole, I hate time travel, and I hate the rules that come with it because they don't make sense.
Oh, I love time travel. I hate it.
I hate paradox rules. Back to the future?
Like, there's rules until there aren't rules, and then when those rules need to be broken, it's fine. Like, the Avengers time traveling. Okay, so Why was that allowed? Oh, because that was the path. What path? Like, what do you, like, can these guys see into the future? If so, can they not predict what event they should jump to? Like, I don't know, man. Like, I like the show. Like, I'm not hating on the show at all. I know the show needs to involve time traveling. I know there's time traveling villains, so this is a good jumping point for those villains. I'm happy with it. I just find the whole time travel as a whole to be very confusing. The only time travel movie I like is Back to the Future. What were you going to say?
I was just saying, like, that. I mean, that's why they have this show, right? Trying to make some sense of it. Trying to give, you know, because the movies can only do so much. So I think this show serves a purpose of trying to give us information and how the Marvel Cinematic Universe works in terms of time traveling and other dimensions and all that, right? It's trying to explain to the average viewer what the rules are, and they're going to play within these rules. Chris, you know, what's your take on this?
On the entire episode or just the ending?
Just his decision to walk through that door and you know, and what are you thinking is, you know, the purpose he did that? Like, he did it with conviction. It's like he just walked through. You know, do you think that we're going to finally see the other side of the coin, or is just him being Loki and trying to be greedy?
With the thing, how it ended, you know, some of us kind of expected that he was going to step through it. I'll be honest with you, it's hard for me to explain what I'm expecting to happen. You know, I can only hope that, you know, with what Dee said, that he's going after her to kind of show off that he's the superior Loki. But who knows what's going to happen, you know, with time and the whole story. We still don't know the full story about the variant. So I'm not trying. There's so many things that I can guess, or we can guess what's going to happen and why he did what he did. But there's going to be a reason, and it's going to be explained to us. I can't wait for next episode.
That's all I'm doing. What about this? I'll pose another thing to you guys here. What about this whole, you know, everything going in chaos? It's funny I say the word chaos. I'm trying to lead into the next thing here is Multiverse of Madness. Is this going to sort of like start the ball rolling for the Doctor Strange movie, where there's things all over the place going on? What do you guys think about that?
I think so. I think this show will end up with a multiverse. Like, I think there is supposed to be a multiverse. I think the Timekeepers made it singular and actually made it, like, this is not the way it's supposed to be. They're power tripping, basically. I know there is a multiverse war. I mean, it's their word against who else is there to speak on this. Like, they're just saying things, and like you said, the TVA is taking them at their word. There's no proof.
I'm gonna go on a limb and have a theory here. And I'm going to say this was all created by Kang the Conqueror because he did not want to compete with himself in multiple universes. So he wanted to make sure that he found a way to be the only Kang in this universe and not have to compete with other ones of himself, other variations of himself. That's my theory on this. It's out of left field, but I think that's the whole reason the TVA and all of this was created, to serve him's purpose of being the only one to be able to, you know, be in this main universe and not have multiples of himself competing with himself. Just throwing it out there. But yeah, it's going to be really cool if this gets out of hand. It's going to tie in nicely with the Doctor Strange movie very, very well.
That's probably why we're getting a second season. That was a good point. Yeah. I never really thought about that.
Yeah, that's why they pay me the big bucks here. All right, let's grade our episode 2. Our first episode was the highest grade. By the way, I went back and checked our grading for all the other shows. Episode 1 of Loki was our highest overall grade we gave to an episode. So did episode 2 live up to that? D, what would you give it out of 10?
Okay, I'm going to tell you why I'm doing this first. So
yeah,
no, I already explained I hate
time travel. Here we go. This is going to be juicy.
So keep this in mind. I hate time travel. But the episode did a very good job of setting rules out without it being convoluted. They didn't spend a 10-minute intro monologue about how the theories of time travel work. They sprinkled it in piece by piece throughout this episode and made it interesting. Mm-hmm. They stuck to that. They kept with it. Any sequence Loki was in with Mobius, I loved. Any action scene in this, I loved. I thought the sets were fantastic. I thought the time periods were fantastic. And I loved the action. I'm giving it a 9 again. And this is a very unbiased 9 due to the fact I hate time travel. So I'm basing this off the acting, the explanation, the sets, and the episode as a whole.
Chris, what would you give it out of 10?
Oh, I think I'm going to give it a wow.
Put it out of 10? You heard it here. Chris gave it a 10.
For our audience who's listening, the wow is a 10 out of 10. It's a wow.
Actually, that would be a 9 out of 10 wow. You know, if you've seen some of his movies, okay, there are different elevations of his wows. But I thought it was a good episode because, you know, they explained a little more. We got a little bit of a backstory. We got introduced to the visual of this character that they're chasing, which I'm going to say it, you know, because, you know, you were with, what's his name in WandaVision? You still wanted it to be
Mephisto.
So this lady Loki, I feel like, is Enchantress. And I will explain that right now. So in the credits.
Oh, here we go.
Yes. So in the credits, the actress is listed as the variant. But in the Castilian Spanish credits, she's listed.
Yes, I'm aware of this.
Yeah. She's with the name Sylvie. And that's an entirely different character. So in the Marvel comics, Sylvie is a human that was gifted powers from Loki. And after some time has gone by, Sylvie does eventually take on the mantle of Enchantress. So I feel, come on, you guys, it's the God of Mischief.
Wasn't Sylvie part of the Young Avengers as well?
Was who?
The character Sylvie, which is like Enchantress 2.0. I believe she was in the Young Avengers as well, and Kang is a Young Avengers main villain.
Oh. That could...
But I still don't think that's Enchantress. I'm going to go and say that's still Loki variant. But we'll see. Let it roll out and, you know, we'll find out in the next couple of weeks here what's going on.
Exactly.
And one other thing I wanted to mention. Do you remember in the beginning when they arrived to Oshkosh, Loki and Mobius? And Loki goes to him and says, hey, why not just go back in time, you know, before this happened and stop it? What was Mobius's response? You guys remember that?
Yeah, there's a Nexus event happening, time becomes basically screwed up. So you can't go before or after. Like, you have to show up in real time because you can't pinpoint the exact location a variant is. Once they start messing around, time becomes scrambled.
See, that's the attention to detail I like. And that's what you're alluding to, D. They, throughout the show, they were explaining and closing in some of these, you know, questions that people will have about the rules.
That's why I love
it. How time travel works.
Because these are very basic questions everyone asks. Why don't you go back in time and kill blah, blah, blah? Well, you can't.
But it's important, right? To close off these questions so people can understand truly how it works.
Yeah.
And the limitations within it.
It's okay if you make up your own rules as long as you stick to them. And so far they've been doing that. So I'm happy.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll be watching as fans, you know, we'll be diligently watching. Are they sticking to their, you know, their core rules here of time travel throughout the next phase? Because I'm sure this won't be the last of time traveling. We're going to see more of that happening or moving into different dimensions, right?
Like, I don't want to throw shade on anyone, but Flash started dropping the ball. Like, by the third time travel, it's like, you broke your own rule, buddy. And then even if they got lazy and they said, oh, with time travel, you can do anything you want. The rules stopped making sense. Like, okay, I'm done with this. I'm done with this show.
Well, you should go watch Superman and Lois, because
yeah, I need to finish
show.
That.
Yeah, that's a great show. All right, okay, I'm gonna give it. What am I gonna give it? I'm gonna give it a 10 out of 10. This is a wow for me.
This was what did you give the last episode. One?
I believe I gave it a 9.5.
And then Chris, did you give the last one a 10? Someone gave it a 10.
I did.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
This was my 10.
I wonder what my 10 will be. I wonder what my 10 will be.
This was my 10, and I'll tell you why it's my 10. Because we just talked about it. Throughout the entire show, they started sprinkling in the rules and limitations of what time traveling is all about. I love that because it's educating the casual viewers and everybody interested in how things are working, the mechanics of it all. And they did it in such a simplistic way. And it's not easy to do that because a lot of times shows get confusing and they break their own rules, like you said, D. So I love that, how they sprinkled that in. I loved how the different expressions of Loki's face was zoomed in and the camera picked up on. There are so many things. There was, you know, mischiefs. There was hurt. There was, you know, arrogance. There are so many things, and you know, that you saw of him, and in just one episode you saw so many different types of his facial expressions of what he's thinking and what he's hearing. And I love that because it's really good to see that. I love Mobius. I think his character developed even more to a point where now you're seeing him, he's business, he's all business, he's not going to take crap from them, he's quick to sniff out BS like he did in the tent when he was trying to lie to him. And he just took a moment and said, yeah, he's full of shit. Let's get out of here. There's nobody outside there. So I love that development of that. And I'm very, very, you know, interested in seeing how this Ravonna character is going to play, because she grabs that stick near the end where they're all running in and she's like, oh, hell no, I'm about to, you know, whoop some, you know what. It's about time. She grabs that stick and she's about, you know, it's go time now, right? So
yeah,
I want to see what she's all about, what she's going to do. And of course, you know, the female Loki being introduced, I thought it was awesome to finally see somebody of his level or maybe even higher than him, you know. And then that line at the end, it's not all about you. It sealed it off for me. I think this was a 10 out of 10 episode. Great pace. Doesn't have to have a whole lot of action, but it felt like there was a whole lot of suspense going on there. It was awesome, and I can't wait for episode 3. Keep the good times rolling here. We've given it high marks 2 weeks in a row, so it's setting up to be the best show so far on Disney Plus from the MCU. But was there anything else you guys wanted to add?
I think I'm good.
Yeah.
Chris, anything you wanted to add?
Oh, my gosh. Could we go on? Yes. But should we? Maybe save it.
Yeah. Save it for episode 3, which, by the way, every week we'll be doing our weekly episodic review. So make sure to check out our bonus coverage. We also have our weekly episode, which talks about various topics in the pop culture world. And you can find us pretty much anywhere. Amazon, Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, the list goes on and on. And if we're not in a place that you listen to your podcast, send us a message at AstonishingNR on Twitter or Instagram. We're available on social media and we'd love to hear from you guys. And if you think that we missed anything of importance in our review, let us know as well. We'd love to hear other people's thoughts and any Easter eggs we missed. We definitely want to hear that. We're all big nerds here. We all want to pick every little detail and think, you know, what we've missed or what we've covered. So yeah, with that being said, you know, wherever you are in the world or the universe, have yourself a good morning, a good day, and a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Time varied, y'all. TVA.